The opening words this morning are by Elizabeth Strong. Enter into this communion of flowers. Enter with joyful hearts and reverent thoughts. It has taken long months for these flowers beneath the cold ground to prepare for their blooming. It has taken each of us long times of growth through joy and sorrow to prepare for this living now. The blooming season is short. The flowers stay only a brief time. We are travelers upon the earth, and we are here for only a brief time. Therefore, let our moments be bountiful. Let us rejoice in our unique colors, scents, and sounds. Let us celebrate together in love, so that as we travel through our days, we always have with us the memory of golden hours together among the flowers. The reading is from, it's a small portion of a much longer Buddhist text. I am of the nature to grow old. There is no way to escape growing old. I am of the nature to have ill health. There is no way to escape having ill health. I am of the nature to die. There is no way to escape death. All that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature to change. There is no way to escape being separated from them. My deeds are my closest companions. I am the beneficiary of my deeds. My deeds are the ground on which I stand. The author of this second reading is not known to me. Perhaps you have seen this attributed to someone. My life in five short chapters. Chapter one. I go down a street and I fall in a hole. It is dark and scary, and it's not my fault. It takes me forever to get out of it. Chapter two. I go down the same street and fall into the hole again. And it's still dark and scary and not my fault, but I know how to get out more quickly now. Chapter three, I go down the same street. I see the hole. I fall in. But it's my fault this time, and I know how to get out. Chapter four, I go down the same street. I see the hole. I step over it. Chapter five, I go down a different street. In the Buddhist tradition, they say that everyone should spend some time reflecting on that first reading, the one that says we are of a nature to grow old, of a nature to have ill health, of a nature to die, of a nature to be uncomfortable with the changes that come in life. And I think it's that particular small piece of the long Buddhist text that it comes from is especially useful for meditation, because in just a few lines it deals with two of the most essential and I think most useful parts of Buddhist teaching. One is dukkha, which is suffering or dissatisfaction. It's that suffering that comes from being physical beings in a changeable world. It means aging and illness and pain. And it's also that sense of suffering that we get when we try to hold on to things, when we try to keep things the same, when they can't be the same, when things keep shifting and we have to keep changing our own understanding. It's the tension between what we want them to be and what they are. And it also, dukkha is also about that just sense of unsatisfactoriness. You know, when your shoes just don't fit quite right, or you're trying to have a moment of meditation and someone is having a phone call in their backyard and it's just not quite right. Dukkha holds all of these things. That existential rub and the more mundane parts of living this life. And it also has karma in it. It's not obvious at first that there is karma in that reading, but it's there. And I think it's important to think a little bit about karma. In our culture, we talk these days about instant karma, by which we really mean people get what's coming to them, which isn't what karma is. Karma in the Buddhist and Hindu sense of it, I think, would be described more as a spiritual set of laws of physics. Karma is you do something and something happens as a result of it. It's you're blameless and it's just what happens. And you learn over time that certain actions cause certain results. And as you learn how to shift what you do in the world, what happens changes in response to that. I think that that's karma. It's, of course, tremendously more complicated than that, but for a Sunday in June, that's good for karma. And what I like about that way of describing karma is that it can be so humanist, that it doesn't have to be, just as the reading, it's not immediately obvious that it's embedded in the system of reincarnation. That there's a deep integrity to the thinking of this part of Buddhism that allows the teachings to be meaningful and complete, even if they are taken sort of functionally or in a humanist way. And they also work if they are taken as part of this understanding of souls being born again and again and again until they understand their karma, which is to say they understand how their actions affect the world and they can step out of suffering. So if you talk about karma, you do have to wrestle a little bit with reincarnation. And I have decided to plead agnostic on the matter of reincarnation. I can't say that I believe in it, because both the systems of Hinduism and Buddhism that teach that the soul re-inhabits earthly bodies until the soul learns what it needs to learn to be free of suffering is just not a way of understanding the world that I completely understand, although it's very interesting. And I have heard people in our congregation talk about experiences that they have had themselves that have led them to believe in reincarnation, that people's souls have remember having had other lives. But I have not had such an experience myself, and Unitarian Universalists tend to be interested in having your own experience and understanding of things. The experience that I have had is that the world that we live in is more complex and more subtle and more surprising than I will ever be able to fully perceive or comprehend. So I am convinced that there is something more to both our lives and our deaths than we can comprehend in this current slightly unsatisfactory condition that we are in. And at this point in my life, I can't say anything more definitive than that. I admit to hoping that someday I will know slightly more than that, but I'm accepting that I may not. This is one of the great gifts of Unitarian Universalism, that we can change our minds, we can say we don't know, and let it stay at that. But that we're open to having a new experience that gives us a new understanding of life or death or how we learn. And of course, it is being open to those new experiences that helps us learn how to not fall into the potholes that are on every road we walk down. The reading from the Buddhist tradition doesn't say that our lives and others' lives are meaningless because they are ephemeral. Just that the fact that they are passing and we want them to stay causes us to suffer. That the difference between what we long for and what is causes pain in our lives. And we all know the things that we are attached to. We want to be young, we want to be physically able to do things, we want to be happy, we want things to be easy. We want the people we love to always be there. And Buddhism says instead that everything, our own health, our age, our relationships, are like the flowers. They bloom and they are beautiful and then they pass away. They are still meaningful, even though they are ephemeral. And the reading asks us to accept that about the conditions of our lives and also remember that there's something about our actions or our deeds that persists in the world, that we and everyone around us lives with the consequences of our actions. And so that second reading about a short history of one person's life is, I think, a good description of how we make that change or how we observe that change in ourselves. It's a painful process of letting go of encountering what happens when we make certain choices in our lives. And as I wrote this sermon, I think this is ironic. It's just, well, it's, this is the slightly painful reality of being human. I realized that I had fallen into one of the holes that I fall into all the time. Sometimes I see it coming, but mostly I just realize, oh, I'm in that hole again, which is the hole of putting just one too many things into a Sunday morning or a day or a week, or sometimes the casserole just, oh, should have left the rosemary out. That's a hole that I fall into all the time. It's just, I think, an unwillingness to accept that you just can't have everything that seems good at the same time. I'm suspicious I'm not the only person who falls into that particular hole in the road. Someday I will go down a different street. I would be pleased if I at least learned to step around that hole as I approached it. And the point, I think, both in the Buddhist reading and in the reading about the holes in the road, is not to be judgmental about if it should happen again, but to notice that this is karma. That falling into the same hole over and over again, repeating any of our actions or responses, is an instance of karma working out, which is to say that when we don't accept the consequences of our choices, when we don't actually see what happens when we make a choice, then we repeat that action until we can learn to accept what actually happens from that choice. And then you can begin to at least step around the hole. Until you have that day, and you've had them, when you think, oh, just because I want it to be that way doesn't mean a thing. It is the way it is. And I can live with that. We can never fully understand the consequences of our actions. The world is too complex for that. We have to do the best we can to see as much as we can of our impact in the world. But we can begin by accepting that every single choice, every single action we make has consequences, just as natural as gravity or entropy. And then we begin to think about what we want to live with in the world, how we want our lives to actually unfold.